You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Dance Off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. We're live tonight. Live tonight without the theme music.
Yeah, because
I forgot.
Yeah, well, that's okay. We still like you. You're still good at what you do.
I'm still good at what I do.
Yeah, and then when...
You know what I'm good at doing, too, is getting guests at the show.
You are good at getting guests at the show.
So we have a guest.
All right.
Hi, guys.
This is Shane...
Shane...
Shane Heron.
Heron. Yeah.
Shane Heron. And I'm Sam Tweedle, just in case you're wondering, and that's Dan Collins, who never said who he was.
Didn't I?
This is the worst opening ever. All right. But that's cool. That's cool. We're just going to forge ahead. And we got a guest. It's Shane, which is great. Hi, Shane. Thanks for coming all the way from Toronto tonight.
I did. Yes, Shane came all the way from Toronto.
On the bus, I might add.
Yeah, it took a Greyhound bus. It was not bad, actually.
Really? Nobody beheaded you?
No, I didn't get beheaded. I was actually saying that last night. I was like, I kind of hope I get beheaded. That'd be cool.
Well, it'd be a great way to die because... If people say, hey, did you hear what happened to Shane? He's dead. And they're like, whoa, he's dead. What happened? Somebody beheaded him. They're going to be, they'll think about it for, and they go, no.
Didn't that guy get beheaded and the guy ate his face too?
I don't remember what happened. I always want, the way I want to go is I want to be eaten by a shark while surfing.
Do you surf?
No, but that's what makes it epic. Because people say, you know, Sam Tweedle died surfing. And they'll go, what's with that? No, he didn't. He doesn't surf. What was he doing surfing? Where the heck was he surfing? So you know, it'd be a thing. So anyways, this is Hey Kids Comics, and we are here on a Friday night, and we're just rambling and stuff. Yeah. We're here to talk about comics.
We're here to talk about comics, guys.
Because that's what we talk about. Yeah. So you know what? Let's just dive into it. Shane, you're here, so I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Put me on the spot.
Shane, tell us what you do.
I make comic books.
Right.
I draw, and I'm writing my new book. So I do a book with Ricky Lima. Mm-hmm. He's my writer for Blackwell Hunters Club. He writes it, I draw, and we co-created it. It's an alien sci-fi bounty hunter book.
Cool.
And now I just launched a Kickstarter for my new Western, post-apocalyptic Western, Morris.
And tell us about Morris. Sell this to us.
But do it slowly because we've got a whole hour.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
because I haven't been to the comic store in 2 weeks. And seriously, I can fill that up with about 40 minutes of Luann if you want.
No, we can't do that.
All right. So
I feel like I should be sitting where you're sitting because now I'm like, I have to look back.
Do you want to sit where I'm sitting?
We can't. No, it's fine.
We can do that right now.
No, here. We did.
We're not going to get up in the middle of the show and trade.
No.
Because then we have to redo all the levels.
That's not a problem. That can be a thing.
Okay. I just got to look back.
You just got a ping pong.
Got a ping pong.
Yeah, well, tennis. You got tennis neck.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, Serena Williams, tell us a little bit about your show.
All right. What am I talking about? Morris.
Yeah, tell us about Morris because you have a Kickstarter.
I have a Kickstarter.
And when did it launch?
It launched on Monday.
Oh, sweet, man. That's great.
Yeah, and it's doing pretty good. We're at 54% of the overall goal, which I think is good.
In 1 week.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think so. But I mean, we still got to keep the momentum going, you know?
Definitely.
The first couple of days are always the biggest, mm-hmm. I guess. Well, I don't know. It's my first Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah? That's great. Well, I think 54. I've seen people just bomb on that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you're more than halfway there, and you got, like, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I got 25 more days or whatever that works out to. So, yeah.
So, Tell us about Morris.
Morris is a big, fat, mustached sheriff who protects this town called Beatrice. And this is a post-apocalyptic type future where it's sort of like Mad Max anarchy outside. Mm-hmm. But in this town, everyone's kept safe by Morris. And it kind of just feels like an old school, like, Western town.
Yeah. Who are you doing with?
I'm doing solo.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Well, I will work with writers, I think, in the future for different story arcs. Mm-hmm. But for the Kickstarter, there's...
It's all right.
Just thought there might be a writer in the room.
Do you write?
Yeah.
Comic
that's
books?
What I, yeah, no. Sorry, I write...
Why don't you guys tell me? You guys didn't tell
he's
me.
Like... He's like...
I write fan fiction.
You write fan fiction?
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Like, that's actually Jeff Johns.
Oh, yeah?
We just didn't tell you.
Next up on DC Rebirth.
I love what you've done with Green Lantern. It was a great idea with the blue lanterns and the other colors. Yeah.
It was a great rainbow. Anyways, now that I derailed what you were saying, go back to...
Yeah, so for the Kickstarter, I have issue one, that's the main book, and then I have an issue zero, which is a shorter kind of, both of them work as standalone introductory tales to the world,
mm-hmm.
and I've written both those myself.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome, that's great. That's
yeah,
great.
It's not bad.
So look.
You are working with other people on them as well, though. Like you did the inks, right? And you're getting somebody else to color them and stuff? Or did you pencil them and getting somebody else to ink them?
Issue zero, that same issue zero, I'm getting a friend of mine, another artist, George Todorovsky. He's inking that issue.
Yeah.
Just because we thought it'd be interesting to collaborate and see, you know, how it works together. And so it's weird because I've always penciled and inked my stuff. So now I'm just penciling. So it's a bit quicker, but I'm
that means
also,
you've
like,
made it to the big time if all you have to do is pencil.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. We'll see. But the first issue, I'm doing everything, writing, drawing, inking. The coloring, I got the colors covered by an artist named, you might know him, Paris Aline. He's done work for Captain Canuck, his book Haven. He's doing
I've heard of
Chapter
Haven.
House. Yeah, he's a really, really talented guy.
So even I've heard of Haven.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's one of my favorite guys to work with. He's colored a bunch of the Black Hole Hunters covers for us, mm-hmm. and he did the Morris issue one. And we'll see. I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to color it, if I'm going to do it myself or like the interiors of the book. But yeah, I'm hoping I can get Paris if he's available and I can afford him.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
that'd
he's
be great.
Amazing.
So, tell us a little bit about your history in comics. Like, when did you get into comics originally? Like, start as a reader. What's your earliest memories of like buying stuff?
My earliest memories of comic books was when I was about 5 or 6, and my uncle just gave me a bunch of old Flash, like the old Silver Age stuff. That like I don't think anything was worth anything, but I think that's probably the first time I read a comic book, other than I guess. You know, everyone has like Archies they bought at a garage sale or something.
Oh,
like
I don't
that.
Know. I don't know if I have any Archies.
How many Archies do you have? All of them? Oh, there you go.
Rolls up his sleeve to show his Archie tattoo.
Yeah.
just in case you couldn't see.
But I think Archie is the gateway for everyone into comic books.
Definitely.
Kind of,
right? In a huge way.
Yeah. So, there was Archies at a garage sale and then the Flash books. And then I remember I had older cousins that were about a year older than me. So they were just, you know, whatever they were doing was cooler than whatever I was. So when they were into hockey cards, I was into hockey cards.
Right, right.
And then they'd get bored of it, and I would be well into it, and I'd come to them and go like, "Are you guys still into hockey cards?" And they'd be like, "No, that's for kids." And so it kind of worked the same with comic books, but I didn't really grow out of it because I liked drawing as well. So I just kind of stuck with it after they got sick of doing comic books. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I just went. I think the first ones I bought were. I remember I bought a Captain America issue.
Cool.
It was like drawn by Ron Lim.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then I remember there was a Conan the Barbarian, and I remember the cover was by Mike Mignola. And I remember the interior didn't look as nice. Like as a kid, you don't really know that there's different artists.
But
on
the you
book.
Know what's amazing is you can tell this guy is an artist because he can tell you who drew his first comics.
Oh yeah.
Although I can tell you that the first comic that I bought but the first one that really seduced me into comics, I know for a fact, was drawn by George Perez.
Which one?
It was a Justice League of America book.
Okay.
It was written by Gary Conway. And there was a time, like early, about 1980, 81, 82, Perez was drawing that.
Yeah.
Justice League. So it was right. It was during, there was a bunch of different writers, but the Conway Perez stuff, to me, is actually some of the just some of the forgotten gems of DC.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Perez worked on JLA.
Yeah, yeah. So. A lot of people for about a year or two.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like those, like there were, it was some of the best stories. A lot of done in ones, or nothing went over a three story arc.
Yeah, that's the best. I miss the I feel like you have to read a bunch of other stuff nowadays. But
yeah,
I used to really like, and I'd like to get back to doing that with Ricky and I plan on doing the Blackwell Hunters Club when the new arc is done. Is just do some one and done stories of cool little bounties and stuff. So.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
That way, if you like it, you can buy more, but you don't feel like you have to, you know?
You know, we all have our favorite characters growing up, and to this day, they continue with us. Who's some of your iconic favorite characters that stick really close to your soul?
Oh, I really love, I mean, there's so many, but I really love, like, Green Lantern.
Yeah.
I don't really read, I don't read any DC Marvel nowadays, because I just, I've fallen out.
I think that even here on the show, we're all decreasing our DC and Marvel a lot. I read a few on both, but barely any. I think Dan, you're totally out on DC and Marvel, aren't you?
I collect Daredevil because I just haven't canceled.
Okay.
So I get it every month, but I actually haven't read it for a year.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of guys that I know who've just always bought Daredevil. Like they don't, and Daredevil's kind of cool because Daredevil always kind of had his own pocket of the universe where he was kind of outside the whole crossovers and stuff like that. So
I've been on and off for Daredevil for years.
Yeah, I love Daredevil too. I got really into him with the Kevin Smith.
Yeah, me too. That was a great series. I recently sold all my copies of that, and boy, do I ever regret it. Marty Burrita.
Yeah, and then I realized I kept reading, and then Bendis and Maleev did their run on Daredevil, and to me, like there, that's obviously a lot of it is like a tribute to the Frank Miller stuff and the world he built. But the Bendis Maleev run is so good.
It was good. I had all those too.
Yeah,
Marty has all my Daredevils now.
Yeah, so I don't know. There's so many good characters. Like I don't know. I love Green Lantern. I've always been a big Wolverine, Hulk kind of guy.
Cool.
I'm like a caveman. You know, I like guys that like smash things and cut things with the claws in their hands and stuff like that.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So I asked you this outside and I told you not to answer this, but in Toronto, so you're part of the Toronto comic scene, which is interesting because here at on our show, we go to a lot of different comic shops.
Yes.
On the this side of Toronto and on the other side of Toronto.
Yeah.
But we don't go anywhere in Toronto.
You stay away from it.
It's interesting because, like, we go to Gotham Central, which is in
Mississauga,
and then we'll go up to Big B in Hamilton, a few places in between there, and then all the shops on this end.
Why do you guys just skip
Toronto? I don't know why. I guess it's because it's going around Toronto is easy, but my question is, so you know the Toronto comic scene where we don't even experience. Like, your guys are, like, in that... You're like the Inhumans living on the dark side of the moon. You know what I mean? Like what? Educate us about the mystical Toronto comic book scene that we don't even touch.
Do you want to know about shops?
What shop do you go to?
I don't have a shop that I go to specifically anymore. Just because after I stopped reading Marvel DC, I kind of just. I'll just wander into shops every once in a while and just pick up whatever's cool. So I like the Silver Snails right at Dundas Square,
that's a given. Although I've never gotten used to it in the new location.
Yeah, the new location doesn't have the charm of the old one. And same thing with the Beguiling is now on College Street.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they moved out because the Honest Eds, they're tearing it down, so they had to move out.
Okay.
So, I mean, that place had a lot of charm, and they had two floors. But the new location is pretty cool. I went in there recently. It's not bad.
I'll have to check that out next time I'm in Toronto.
Yeah, the Beguiling's always the best for selection-wise.
Yeah,
like they have. Because I love a lot of indie books. They'll have all kinds of art books, all kinds of cool stuff that you won't find.
I probably spent more money at The Beguiling than any other comic shop in Toronto.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that might be true for me
just
as well.
Just because every book you buy is about $50.
That's true, too. Yeah.
So once you add those up, like...
Yeah, but
I bought 8 books there, and it just outdid everything. Yeah.
Yeah, what other shops are good? Paradise Comics is up near me, and that's they're pretty good. They have some good stuff.
They used to run a great con back in the day.
Yeah, that was my first ever con that I tabled at was the Paradise 2007 show. Yeah.
I used to do press at Paradise, and then when Wizard World took it over, and I used to do a lot of indie press in Toronto.
Yeah.
Back in the day, and the guys that did Paradise and Wizard, they always treated me really good.
Yeah.
And they treated me like a little bit of celebrity. I actually would like do panels and do like interviews with celebrities on stage in front of an audience.
Sure, yeah.
Which was so cool.
And they would get guests that, you know, some people like Matt Wagner and stuff that Fan Expo just wasn't bringing in.
That's where I met George Perez.
Yeah, exactly.
And then one time Marv Wolfman. I met Marv Wolfman at one of their shows. Mm-hmm. And then one time they were supposed to bring, he's dead now, one of my favorite artists from the 60s.
You know, I know they had Eisner in 2004.
Yeah, I didn't go that year.
No, I missed it too.
Oh, man, right? Can you imagine?
I actually hadn't truly discovered like my love for Eisner yet at that point. Yeah. So it wasn't until he's after.
I had, thing. But I was just like, yeah, you know what? I'll meet him again. He comes to these things.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Didn't he die like a great after?
Yeah, I think it was. He died around 2004, 2005.
I'm thinking the guy he used to draw the Teen Titans back in the 60s, and he also was the Hanna-Barbera, the guy who created all the Hanna-Barbera superheroes, like their image, like, you know what I mean, and like he did the Super Friends. And
okay, yeah.
I can't think what that guy's name is.
Damn, what's his name?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyways,
I thought you were Googling stuff over there.
I'm looking up comic book news.
Oh, all right, cool. Anyway,
what do you have?
You know, it'll come. Alex Toth.
Oh, yes, Toth.
Yeah, they were supposed to have Toth one time, and I remember like writing like, how much is it? And Toth would do this thing that was really cool. Well, not cool. Maybe it was cheesy, but I was going to do it. He would draw a face with hair.
Okay.
And then he'd come with like a big stack of faces with hair.
Yeah.
And then he'd like, Who do you want me to draw? Wonder Girl. And he'd draw a face on it and go, oh, you know, and who do you want? You know, and then, and it'd be also like, what girl with long hair do you want? Like, literally.
Yeah.
That was,
I
know,
love
Black
that.
Canary, you know.
Well, he's the poster boy for the minimalist comic book art, right?
Yeah.
So there, he's proving
But he would come prepared.
Yeah.
Like, just with this stack of.
He's doing the minimalist effort,
too. Yeah, the stack of faces with hair.
Yeah. No, Alex Toth, he's like.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys who kind of gets forgotten as one of the greatest artists, but he's so good.
He was so good.
Yeah, because he's always on the like tip of your tongue.
Yeah, right? And like, he canceled last moment, and then he died like. Well, maybe that's why he canceled. Maybe he got sick.
Yeah.
Because that happens. The first time we went to Niagara Comic Con was because I wanted to meet Yvonne Craig.
Yeah.
And then she canceled last minute.
And then she died.
And then she died, right? So
it's like the con killed her.
Yeah. Trivia question. I know Dan will know the answer to this. Name a famous science fiction star that died at a comic book convention.
Adam West.
No. He I think he died at home. Do you know this, Dan?
Will Shatner.
Patrick Troughton.
It was Patrick Troughton died.
From Doctor Who.
Second Doctor, yeah. And he was, wasn't it like one of his first.
Died at a con?
Yeah. Like he was like the guest, and it was like his first North American convention or something.
Like a heart attack?
Did he keel over?
Sure. Was it like dramatic?
It wasn't like, I don't think it was that dramatic, like, but he died in his hotel room before.
That's not as good.
On the first day. So it was like, everybody was like, why is Patrick Troughton so late?
Yeah, you know, I mean, but like, think of the odds. Like, I mean, Lou Ferrigno's probably going to die at a con, right? Because where is he most of the time?
But he won't die unless we all give him $5.
Yes. Even if you take a picture of his dead body. Oh, no. We're getting
$5 for that picture.
You know, Lou Ferrigno.
I have a weird sense of humor.
Lou Ferrigno won't even talk to you unless you give him $5.
Yeah.
He won't even look at you. You know, he's just like.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not gonna.
You know what? We better stop, or Ferrigno's gonna show up with the show and punch us all.
He's not gonna do shit. He can't even hear this, isn't he? Like,
he's gonna need $5.
He doesn't listen to the radio.
He will not show up at our show unless we give him $5, and then he'll punch us.
Yeah,
$5
for an additional $5.
He's one of those guys you gotta like run, snap a picture, and run away.
Yeah, well, I remember. He's off. Yeah, he's just. He's famous for being one of the most greediest people at conventions.
Is he? Okay. You know, I heard a story. Do you guys know wrestling stuff?
I do.
You know, Virgil?
Virgil.
Yeah,
I know, right?
I heard stories about him.
He'll find out that Ted DiBiase is at a convention, and he'll just kind of show up.
Oh, really?
Okay. You know what I mean? Like, open. That someone will go, hey, aren't you Virgil? And I was at a convention one time. It was one of the Paradise ones, and they had Ted DiBiase, and Virgil was also there.
Yeah,
but you know, Ted DiBiase had like a big table with the banner and the whole bit, and then Virgil was kind of like on the other side of the hall, like with this little, you know, like public school desk.
Why wouldn't they just put them next to each other? Like, obviously, if you're there for DiBiase, you're going to get Virgil.
I don't think DiBiase wants to have anything to do with Virgil because he's such a schmuck.
Yeah.
Like, because, yeah, that story you've heard about him, I knew the moment you said this, I knew where you were
going. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I heard someone else, I think they witnessed it, and he kind of bullied someone into buying a poster or a signed poster of him or whatever, and they didn't really want it. And he was like, come on, man. He's like, buy one. And they're $10. And they were like, all right, I guess. And then they gave him a 20, and he was just like, all right, man, two prints, there you go. And they were like, no, I don't. And he was like, yeah, no problem, man, take care. And, like, just kind of took their money. And
that's Virgil.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
He's pretty famous for that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that, too. Man, we could get into, like, a lot of, like, our worst convention stories. But let's not. Let's keep talking about comics.
Yeah, all right, okay. Well, I'll talk about it.
Conventions are comic book related.
They really are.
So.
They really are. But then we're saying smack about, like, because I was about to start telling the story about, like, one of the worst experiences I had with a celebrity at a convention this year. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear it, Dan?
Is it appropriate?
Is it
for
a
the
good
radio?
Story?
He has to think if it's appropriate
it's,
for the
it's
radio.
It's not appropriate in the sense that it's not, like, inappropriate. Like, it's not going to offend anybody. But it's disappointing when you hear a story about a celebrity that lets you down, right? Do we want to, like, somebody could be a fan of this person, and do I want
to
put
just
out
tell it now? We have to know the story. Like,
but what if somebody
can't not say it now?
Well, I have to now because we have all this buildup.
What if somebody's listening and they were going to approach the celebrity, but now they'll be like, you know what? After hearing that story from Sam, I'll just admire them from afar and not have my heart broken.
Sam did him a favor.
Yeah. All right. So I was at Niagara Comic Con.
Yeah.
Right. And Butch Patrick's there.
Who's Butch Patrick?
Eddie Munster.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. And he has this huge setup. I mean, it was elaborate. I mean, there was like a Doctor Who there, and there was like Walking Dead people there, and there was wrestlers there, and they didn't even have half the setup as Butch Patrick had.
Yeah.
So this huge setup, huge stuff. And he's sitting there, and he's like, nobody's at his table. Right now, out of the five celebrities I wanted to see, he happened to be one of them because I like vintage stuff and I like classic TV.
Sure.
And I'm not standing in line for modern actors because to me, they still have to prove themselves on the pop culture spectrum.
Okay.
Where he has.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's alone. He's like, there's nobody there. I'm like, this is great. It's Butch Patrick. It's Eddie Munster. I even could talk to him about something else he did that wasn't the Munsters.
Yeah.
So I go up, and he's sitting there, and he smiles, big smile. He's all excited I'm coming up, and he's like, hi, how are you? Thanks for coming out. I'm like, hey, man, Butch Patrick, great to meet you. And I shake his hand. He's like, yeah, and he's giving me, like, his business card. He's giving me pamphlets. He's giving me Munster stuff. It's great. And I'm like, oh, can I get this here signed? He's like, yeah, and he signs it, and I give his person $20, and I go, oh, man, this is great. You know, the other night I was watching, and he goes, thanks for coming out. And he just shuts down and doesn't look at me in the eye.
That's it.
Like, it was, like, literally after I gave him the $20, he just...
He's like a robot.
He was done.
He hit the switch.
He was done. It was just... And I'm like, really? Like there's nobody behind me.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about something for a minute? Yeah. Like, can I tell you something about something? You know? But no, he wasn't interested. He was just like, well, have a great show.
So the moral is don't give them the money until you're done.
Sometimes
don't give Butch Patrick your money until you're done, for sure. Have you ever seen him since at a show?
No, it was this summer at Niagara this summer.
Oh, it was this summer. Yeah. Okay.
We should talk about some of the best people we've met. Let's go around the circle. Best person you've ever met. Celebrity, comic book, anything.
You go first, because I got to think. I don't know.
Well, I don't know either. Sam's the only one that has these.
Well, the best person you've met is me.
I'm obviously...
And a close second, Kevin Briones.
I wasn't going to say you because that's just embarrassing since you're here.
Hey, tell the story about when you met Richard Cumley.
Why?
Because it's a great story, Dan.
It's a great story?
It's a great story. If I wouldn't ask about you to tell that story if I didn't think it was a great story.
I don't think it's a great story.
I think it's a great story, so tell it.
I come into the convention. It was at the Toronto... the Comic-Con in March, this past March, coming to the convention. And there's Richard. See him from way across the convention floor, because I've never met him before, even though I've been to a lot of conventions and, you know, big Captain Canuck fan. Mm-hmm. And there he is across the floor, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. Wander up around the table, but I didn't come up to him, because I was like, you know, a little shy, little like, hey, that's the guy that created my favorite comic book character. Need to work my way up to this. We're standing 5 feet or so away from him, kind of like chatting with a friend, and then
you pissed your pants.
I did, all over him.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Gilpin goes up to Richard and he's talking to him, and he's like, oh, here's Dan. Hey, Dan, come over here. And he forces me into the conversation.
Isn't your Instagram name like Canuck Fan Dan?
Canuck Fan Dan, yes. Yes, I'm a fan of Captain Canuck. Yeah. Yes, just a little bit.
Yeah.
But, and so Chris forced me to have a conversation with him.
How did it go?
It went fine. I survived. Didn't get a picture, though. I need to get a picture still.
See, that's a great story. Isn't that a great story?
Oh, yeah. You're just nervous. That was the story.
Yes.
And that wasn't a great story.
Yeah, it was a great story.
Yeah.
There was another time that I was just talking as we're talking about stuff. There's another time that I was at the TCAF, when I was at TCAF in Toronto this past summer, that went with Sam.
Isn't TCAF the best?
TCAF is amazing.
It's amazing.
The best. I love TCAF.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
We were at TCAF, and so I wandered through the chapter house area, and then there was Danny Zabel, and I ended up talking to him for about 40 minutes.
He's the best.
About, like, obscure video games from the 80s involving Michael Jackson.
Moonwalker?
Moonwalker. Yeah.
Was there more than one video game starring Michael Jackson?
Maybe.
It's not obscure.
Isn't that the song?
Maybe it's obscure to me.
Everyone played Moonwalker and nobody liked it.
Moonwalker was a video game that introduced the song Smooth Criminal.
That's right.
I don't know that, but
did.
Danny probably did.
Danny knows everything about video games. Danny is the nicest guy, and his book is so good.
What book does he do?
He does Life, Death, and Sorcery through chapters.
I've heard of that. I haven't read it.
Oh, you got to see his art, man. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Follow Danny Zabal on, I don't know, Instagram or whatever.
Yeah. I'll go find him.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I was walking by him at TCAF, and he's like, I recognize your face from Instagram. I was like, I'm famous.
Yeah.
Got a
he's
famous
like, you're
face.
You're Canuck Fan Dan?
Yeah.
Have you ever met Richard
Have you ever
Comley?
Met Richard? No. Change your name,
You ever met old Dick Comley? Do they call him that? I don't know.
I don't think they do.
Oh. You think, I don't know. People named Richard get called Dick.
That's right. They do.
Why?
Well.
Because they are.
Dicks?
But don't bump. Shh.
Nice.
All right.
Okay, that's it for the show tonight. Goodbye.
I don't know my favorite meeting. I've met so many. Like, I've been to a million cons as a fan, and
So it's hard sometimes. Like,
I've met so many. Like, just like my favorite meetings are just like other artists. You know, just kind of chill guys. Mm-hmm. I've met I think some guys I've you know they were my heroes as kids and stuff. But I don't think they're any more important than like. You know, talking to Adam Gorham at a con, like that's like and I've talked to him a million times. He's my buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just like doing that type of stuff.
That's great.
Yeah. Or going to TCAF and just discovering someone. Oh, there's this one guy. You guys got to follow him on Instagram. I think his handle is Cancor, like CanKorr. His name's Matthew Allison. And this book he does is so crazy. I don't know. I just Instagram suggested I like it. So I started looking at his art and became such a huge fan. And then I found him. He was at TCAF, and I just found him on the third floor, and I was about to give up. But his art's really good.
That's awesome.
That's my favorite, because he was so nice, and he had three books. I bought them all. Now I'm waiting for the next one. Cancor. Cool. Check
Cancor.
It out. Yeah, it's weird, awesome. Wild stuff. His line work is so beautiful.
Yeah, cool. I don't know. I'd have to say my favorite's Hope Nicholson.
Oh, yeah?
I really enjoyed hanging out with Hope Nicholson.
Did you hang out with her?
Oh, yeah. We were at a convention one time, and she was just starting out.
Yeah.
And I was working at that convention it was one of the Wizard Worlds. And I was working in the press, and I remember that weekend I did the, I hosted the Last Starfighter reunion, and I interviewed the cast of Last Starfighter.
That's awesome.
On stage. And then Sean Mayer from Firefly, I did a panel with him where I interviewed him on stage and then facilitated whatever. And I remember she was just starting out, and she was looking at, networking, because Hope Nicholson is an amazing networker. You'll never find a better networker.
Maybe the best.
The best. Like, yeah. Everybody gets her card. I think she gets it. She has more cards than friends, I think, yeah. You know. And so basically she followed me around and gave everybody I spoke to one of her cards and everything like that. And we had a wonderful afternoon. What I found really interesting, though, is that afterwards, you know, anytime I tried to hang out with her, she got like a lot more famous than me. And she doesn't even know my name.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so we had a great. I think Hope Nicholson was by far the greatest.
Oh, I thought you were being sarcastic when you said that.
What?
That she was the greatest person you met at a con. When you first said it, I thought you were being sarcastic.
Why would I be sarcastic about Hope Nicholson?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you know something I don't? What do you know?
Nah, I don't know anything.
This has gotten very awkward very fast.
This has gotten like me levels of awkward. So.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, so Shane, what's it like to be sitting at your table and have people come up to you and be like, hey, man, I love your book. Like, what does that feel like?
It feels pretty good.
Doesn't feel that. Did you just? I feel like you channeled Ricky right there. That sounded like something Ricky would have said.
Oh man, it feels really cool. it feels really good. One thing I always say, because you know, you get a lot of people at cons that sell, you know, Deadpool prints or yeah. Harley Quinn prints, stuff that like, I'm not saying don't do it, do whatever. I just don't do that personally, so sometimes. You look at people next to you who are selling those kind of things of characters they don't own and prints or jewelry and type of stuff, and you kind of see them like making, you know, money hand over fist, yeah. And you're like, ah, oh, man, like part of you is like, why aren't I doing that? But at the same time, you don't want to do it. But we just sell our own books, yeah. All of our books that we create ourselves. And so you don't sell as many as you would, say, a Deadpool print. But when people do it and they really like it, it feels so much more rewarding.
Yeah.
And especially when people come back and they go like, do you have the new issue? You know, that type of thing. It feels amazing and to know that people are, like, really into your stuff.
Actually read it.
Yeah, or you
back,
get people that, you know, Fan Expo on the Thursday, they'll pick up, you know, issue one to see if they like it. And then they'll come back and be like, I loved it. I read it last night in the hotel. I want all your books.
Yeah.
That feels pretty good. You know.
So yeah. That does, because you know what? Some kid's going to get your book.
Yeah.
And it's going to get them into
comics. They're going to be very offended by it.
Yeah.
But it's going to inspire them to make comics.
I hope so, yeah.
10 years from now, they're going to have a conversation like this, and they're going to say, you know who was the greatest person I ever met at a convention? Shane Heron.
Yeah, I hope so.
He got me into it. And that's going to happen.
You know what? You guys know Chip Zdarsky, right?
Yeah, like,
you know,
yeah, of course.
Do you know, guys know Keegan MacLeod? He was doing the art for Captara, that Image book with Chip Zdarsky. They went to Sheridan together. He mm-hmm. does Infinite Kung Fu as well, Keegan MacLeod. He's one of the if you know his art because you've seen it in any magazine. Like he's amazing. So when I was 16, I went to my first con. It wasn't called Fan Expo yet, but it was the Fan Expo. Mm-hmm. And I went I didn't know what an artist alley was. I just went to go meet like Kevin Smith or something like that. And I went into the artist alley, and Chip Zdarsky and Keegan MacLeod were probably about 20 years old.
Yeah.
And Keegan had, I think, 3 issues of Infinite Kung Fu, and Chip was doing his book called Prison Funnies. And I just loved their art so much back then. So this is like, I don't know, I'm 35 now, so what, like almost 20 years ago now? I loved their stuff so much. Chip drew me a sketch of Batman with 2 giant double D breasts. Like, he was just so funny even back then. And like Keegan MacLeod did an Iron Fist for me because he does the cool Kung Fu. And I just remember being like, these guys are the coolest guys, and I followed them for so long. And then, like, a few years ago, Chip Zdarsky got the Eisner for, like, best newcomer or something like that? And you're like, newcomer? He's been around forever. He's so good.
It reminds me of a story I've never told before. I've never told anybody in this room. And I haven't even thought about it until now. Now, I got this weird thing where I don't have any memories between the ages of 14 and 29.
Okay.
But now, every now and then, like, somebody will tell a story like you just did, and it'll bring something back. When I was in the ninth grade, so this is 1989, me and my cousin, Owen, we went to Toronto to go see Madonna's Blonde Ambition tour.
Yeah.
Okay, you're wondering, what does this have to do with comics? Now, I knew that... Ty Templeton lived in Toronto.
Yeah.
And Ty Templeton at the time was doing Justice League.
Yeah.
The Baja Hire of Justice League. And I knew he lived in Toronto. and me and my cousin, and I was from Peterborough, my cousin was from Parry Sound. We're just kids, like we're what grade? The ninth. We're ninth graders.
Yeah. What okay. Is that, like 13.
Something like that. So we were at my aunt's house, and we got like the phone book, and we looked up in the Toronto phone book, Ty Templeton, and there he was in the phone book. We're like, oh my god, it's Ty Templeton in the phone book.
He was in Toronto? Because I know he lives in Mississauga now.
Well, he was living in Toronto at the time. Yeah. And then we're like, oh, should we phone him? Should we phone him? Yeah, let's phone him. So we just randomly phoned Ty Templeton, right?
Yeah.
And he answered the phone, and we're like, oh, you don't know us, but we read Justice League, and we think you're the best. That's awesome. And he like sat and he talked to the two of us like individually, because we only had the one phone. And he was telling us about how one time when he was a kid, there was this comic artist he liked that he phoned.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's crazy.
And so he had done what we had done. Yeah. So that's why he took the time. You know, he's like, you know, thanks for calling. He only talked to us for like 10 minutes.
But he must have been what, in his 20s then?
I don't know. He was doing the Bwahaha era of Justice League. That's what.
But 89, like, that's a long time
that's
ago.
That's how we. Oh, yeah. Thanks for making me feel old, bro. but that was the first time I probably had any contact with anybody in the comic industry.
Yeah.
But it was so great. He was so gracious. And I've met him
he's
plenty of times
guy.
Since. I got art by him and whatever. Yeah. I've never told him that.
You should tell him that. He'd love that.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Yeah, I think he
would. Well, I
haven't
even thought about it for years until.
I bet you he remember that too. That'd be
I don't
great.
Know. I can just remember me and my cousin sitting in my aunt's kitchen, and she had like a bachelor apartment, right, in one of those high rises.
So you're sitting in the
and we're sitting in that
in the one room.
That you know where it's but you know how like the kitchen's like the column, right? Like we're in the column kitchen and with her cell phone, not her cell phone, but her portable. And of course, portables even then, she had a portable that was high tech. And
pulled the antenna.
Yay! We were so nervous about calling Ty Templeton. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
You got to tell him that story. He'll love it.
Next time I see him,
I'll
tell him. And now he's writing the current classic Archie book, Your Pal Archie.
Yes.
Which I buy, yeah.
Yeah, Ty's the best.
And he created Arm Fall Off Boy for Legion of Superheroes.
Oh.
That's his
Arm
great.
Fall Off Boy.
Fall Off Arm Boy? Arm Fall Off Boy.
His arm falls off?
Is it does.
No, completely
he can actually,
unrelated.
Just
he can
one
actually
or both?
He can actually pull his arm off and use it as a club.
Just one arm?
Just one arm. Well, he probably pull off the other arm, too. I don't know.
Then he can't. But, like, it's not arms fall off, boy.
I think it's arm fall off, boy. Arms fall off, boy?
He just rips it off?
Yeah, like his That's arm. Weird. He can pull his arm off and use it as a club.
Huh. All right.
It's a great power.
Can he put it back on after?
Yes.
Or? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he just grows a new one or something.
No. He can put it back on.
Wow.
Ty Templeton created that character.
That sounds like a pretty good character.
All right. No, so.
What else are we going to talk about, guys?
Luann.
Oh, Luann, yes. Okay, what I want to know is, because I've been listening to the show, what the hell is Luann?
You know, Dan, why don't you explain what Luann is?
None of you guys seem to know what Luann is. It's a webcomic?
Okay, Luann.
It's a newspaper strip.
It was a newspaper strip that started in newspapers back in the 80s. It's been running for over 25 years.
Okay.
It's by a guy named Greg Evans, and now his daughter helps write it, but I don't know her name.
Luann, probably.
Well, it's not.
Gregina.
Luann was based on the daughter, actually, when he first started the strip. And now it's still, I guess, and I don't even know if newspapers do comics anymore. But
I don't even know if do they make newspapers?
Well, I don't know. But now you go and you read them online.
Yeah.
Right. Like they're still doing this.
So where do you read this? At Luann.com?
GoComics.com.
Okay.
And I talk about it all the time on the show.
I don't. I never understand what the hell you're talking about. I feel like you
I'm
guys
talking
don't...
about Luann.
Yeah.
And I'm giving the update.
Yeah.
Luann update.
But as someone who didn't know Luann, I was like, what is Luann? What is it?
Well, it's a comic that you read on GoComics.com.
Yeah.
GoComics.com. I mean, how do you miss this?
/ Luann.
No. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Just search Luann.
Just search Google. Put Luann.
I just picture the girl from King of the Hill every time.
I didn't get that because I didn't watch King of the Hill.
The girl's name was Luann. It's the only other Luann I've ever known of.
But like Luann, the comic strip. So anyways.
What's happening on Luann?
I'm going to tell you. So it's been 6 weeks because we haven't talked about it in 6 weeks. A lot's happened in 6 weeks. Now, I'm not going to do all 6 weeks worth of storylines.
Is this a weekly strip?
No, it's daily.
Daily?
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh, I almost swore.
What do I do? First thing when I wake up, I go to the bathroom. I'd get a bottle of water.
Mm-hmm.
I feed the cats.
We don't need to hear your whole routine.
Well,
I check my email, and then I read Luann.
Okay.
Okay.
You should have just said Luann first.
Well, it's not first.
So just lie to us.
but I mean, it's in there.
Okay.
All right.
We'll never get a Luann sponsorship for the show with what you just said.
So anyways, we all remember how the whole thing with the missing TV set, right?
No.
Okay, Dan?
Yes.
All right.
I remember.
Well, okay, so do you remember how I was like, okay, they went nowhere with it because they didn't, they caught the person, but they didn't, explain
yes.
that. Well, anyways, they have finally introduced the character that stole the TV set. She has finally appeared in the strip because she got kicked out of her dormitory because she stole the TV set. And now she is now at the college where Luann is, and she's Luann's new science partner. Oh, my God. Science lab partner.
And she stole Luann's TV?
No. She stole the TV from the common room at a different dormitory.
Oh.
All right. So
is it an old tube TV or like a flat
the TV.
Screen?
They never showed the TV. That
never showed the TV.
They never showed her
Then how
the TV
did we know it was,
TV
missing?
Was missing?
They showed like the spot where the
because
TV
Bernice
was.
Because Bernice walked in and there was no TV. Okay? Anyways, I don't remember the character's name at all. But she's now Luann's new best friend. Well, not new best friends, but she's hanging out with her because she's like kind of cool. And Luann really likes her. And Bernice is like super freaking jealous.
Does Luann know that she stole the TV?
Yes, Luann knows she stole
the TV.
She's
okay with it?
No, she's not okay with it, but that's besides the point.
She's dealing with it.
She's dealing with it. So anyways, so Luann and the new girl, and they go to like this tattoo convention thing, and Bernice was invited, but she doesn't want to go because the girl who stole the TV is with her, and she's really jealous. She's really upset. So she is on homeowner, and she runs into Tiffany. Now, does anybody remember the last time we saw Tiffany?
Nope.
Seriously. Okay, the last time we saw Tiffany was that disastrous dinner when Gunther brought Tiffany to dinner at his mother's house and with a Leslie Potts and Mr. Potts, and they were also there. Okay, and Tiffany and Leslie were kind of flirting, and then Gunther told Tiffany that she shouldn't be flirting with Les. And Tiffany got all upset and was like, oh, I'm so alone. What am I going to do? Well, I know it sounds like that was only a couple of weeks ago, right?
It feels like just yesterday.
Okay, but anyways, thank you. So anyways, it was actually months ago. It was at the beginning of the summer. So we haven't seen Tiffany all summer.
Shoot.
Well, guess what happened to Tiffany over the summer? Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Are you ready for this? Okay. Tiffany got fat. Tiffany is dealing with depression, and she's been in her room all summer eating jelly donuts and pizzas, and she's got fat. All right?
How fat?
Really fat.
Like curvy? Like yeah.
you know, just fatter than Tiffany usually is.
Yeah.
Because she's been dealing with depression.
Is Tiffany usually a bit curvy, or is she?
She's like super hot.
Oh, super.
She's like the hottest girl in the show. But
can we look at Luann while we hear this? Can you pull some Luann up? I want to see what's doing here.
Interestingly, Sam has been talking about Luann for more than a year, and we've never once pulled it up on the
computer.
Have you
guys ever read it at all? Yeah.
No, I've never.
Can you pull it up? Can we see what Luann's doing?
So anyways, when Luann and Bernice went to do an intervention with Tiffany,
for being fat,
basically shut the door in front of her face. They're like, well, who's going to talk to Tiffany? So they actually have Gunther talking to Tiffany now, and Tiffany has now revealed that she's really upset that her father, who has a new girlfriend, and she's really jealous, although she hasn't met her father's girlfriend, and she's basically been taking out that depression by eating donuts. And that's where we're at. So gocomics.com, Luann, give me a couple more weeks and I'll update.
All right, that's pretty good.
Is it pretty good?
I think,
You know what's going on?
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm not going to read it.
He'll just make me try to pull it up.
Well, I want to see, you know? I want to see it. I want to see this Luann. I've never considered it.
Well, it's a thing. It's a thing now, right?
It. Yeah, I think you're making it a thing.
Of course I'm making it a thing. Why is this thing not... What do you guys?
We're trying to find Luann.
Oh, we got the alphabetical listing here.
There you go.
I didn't see a search function.
It's probably
easily at the top.
Luann's not actually on today's strip. It's Gunther and Tiffany. Luann doesn't make an appearance on today's strip. So
Luann again?
No, Luann again is the old Luann's from the 80s. So you can actually, it's another website where you can actually read old Luann's from like 20 years ago. Isn't that great? Isn't that exciting?
Here's a shot for Shane to read. Eluann comic strip.
Why don't you guys do a dramatic reading of the strip? You be Tiffany, Dan. And well, no. I want Shane.
We're looking at the old Luann right
no,
now.
No. Go to the current Luann.
Well, I don't know. We just seen Luann again. Is there Luann?
No, that's classic Luann. We need like.
Oh, right next to it. Right
yeah. Okay.
There.
Okay. Okay. So.
Yeah, I want to see some current Luann.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So Dan, you be Gunther, and Shane, you be Tiffany.
Now, I'm assuming the girl is Tiffany,
that's
and
right.
the guy is.
That's fat. That's fat
well,
Tiffany.
That's fat Tiffany. Yes.
Oh, she looks fine. She's just wearing a sweater.
All right, so do a dramatic reading of it. This is great.
Who am I?
You're the girl, apparently.
You're Tiffany.
Okay.
And Dan's Gunther.
All right. I'm so tired of trying to get my dad's attention and approval. I feel like I'm always competing at home, at school, with other girls. I'm just exhausted. I don't want to do anything anymore. Just scarf donuts and watch restless young doctors dance with housewives.
That doesn't sound very fun.
Healthy. You read it wrong.
Whoops. That doesn't sound very healthy. It doesn't sound fun either.
It sounds fun, scarfing donuts.
Restless young doctors dance with housewives?
I think she's watching Dancing with the Stars.
Okay, but they can't say that because it's...
I don't know.
Probably have to pay Lou okay. Ferrigno $5 for saying that.
Do it again, but
that
say
doesn't
healthy.
Sound very healthy.
What? Should I be watching the History Channel?
Star Trek marathons.
That's it.
Right.
It's not very funny.
Well, no, because it's because today's Friday.
Who's this guy?
That's Gunther.
Who's Gunther?
Okay, so Gunther used to go to school, high school, with Luann and Bernice, and he had a crush on Luann, but Luann had a crush on Aaron, but Aaron was with Tiffany, and now they're all in college. But we all know that Gunther and Bernice should be together, but Bernice is in love with Pyro. And
Pyro, what kind of name is that?
I don't know. He's
what
like,
kind
he's
of
like,
name is Gunther?
Well, so anyway,
it's like German or something.
But yeah. Gunther and Tiffany are like this kind
German.
Of odd couple. Like they're not a couple, but like they're friends. But she's like
Gunther and Tiffany are friends.
They're, yeah.
Gunther's, he's like, oh, she's put on some weight. I can get with that now.
See, Gunther is really, really nerdy, but Tiffany's like the hot vain girl. But they're like an unlikely friendship.
Well, now she's eating donuts and wearing sweatpants.
There you go. So anyways,
what I would do is just your list of things you do in the day, I'd read Luann while I'm on the toilet.
But it's on the computer and I don't sit on the toilet.
You don't have a tablet or a phone?
Well, yeah, but I don't read.
That's not the real Luann experience.
Yeah, I need it on a bigger screen.
Yeah, all right, that's fair.
Or I can't see it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you. Sam has a giant TV. It's the biggest TV I've ever seen. It's about a foot away from his face.
But like, how am I supposed to read subtitles?
You don't read subtitles. You just don't watch.
You make it up in your head.
You just watch dub movies.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyways, you know this is the longest we've ever talked about Luann, but that's because there's been 6 weeks, and you seem interested.
No, I just want to. I listen, and I'm like, "What the hell are they talking about?" So I need to know, and I feel like other people are probably like, "What
and now
is this,
that
Luann?"
Now that you know, you wish you didn't know.
No, I guess I know. I'm content
with
this.
Okay.
But you know what's going to happen? You're going to be lying there tomorrow. You're going to get up tomorrow morning. You're going to be thinking, "Well, I wonder what's going
on." He's
going to
be sitting on the toilet.
No chance.
Sitting
no
on the toilet.
No chance to ever look at Luann again.
What, Luann or Luann again?
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Neither. Okay. None of the above.
All right. Well, anyway. So Greg Evans won't be calling me back next time after
no.
the show. No. That's
Greg Evans.
That sponsorship as well.
Greg Evans is the writer of Luann.
I know, but of course he'd call you, if anyone. He's not going to call me back. You're the biggest promoter of Luann.
I'm probably the only promoter of Luann.
That's right, yeah.
So, everybody, gocomics.com. Luann. What's going to happen with Tiffany? Is she going to get her shape back? Is Gunther going to get
in
with it?
Is she going to get her shape back?
Yeah.
She looks pretty good now. Never mind that. Go see Morris. Check out my Kickstarter for Morris. Never mind Luann.
True. You should check out his
Morris needs to get his shape back too, though.
He does.
No, that's Morris. Morris is confident, all right?
Yeah.
He scarfs donuts all day long if he wants, but he's not embarrassed about it.
So, like, how did you come up with that, like, idea of Morris?
It was actually just I had because at my place I have a big sort of art studio area, so we'd have people come over and just draw and do art jams. And one day I was doodling and I drew this big fat mustache Morris, And then people really thought, everyone around was like, that's cool. I like this character. Yeah. So one of the shows I did, I made prints of it. Mm-hmm. And then all the prints sold. People really liked Morris. So I was like, every time people see the character, they kind of respond really well. I mean, he looks like Wilford Brimley. He looks like the Monopoly Man. He looks like the Druxy's Deli logo, you know, that type of like.
How thing. Is Wilford Brimley still alive? I mean, that guy was like 97 back in the 80s.
Yeah, I just found out that he's still alive. I assumed he's dead.
You think diabetes would have took him by now?
Yeah, diabetes. yeah, I don't know. I mean, he can't be around much longer. Maybe he'll live forever.
He's maybe a Highlander.
He will be.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't die at a convention.
I hope he doesn't die when you release Morris number one.
Why? That's like I killed him.
Yeah.
No.
You put my likeness down on paper.
No, he'll live forever. He's Wilford Brimley.
But he was like 100 when I was a kid.
Yeah, so he's like always been old.
Not to derail the conversation back to Morris, but
that's
like
okay.
So it was just the character you drew it and people were like, this guy's cool, and you're like, you know what, I should tell a story.
Well, my plan was to just do a series of different illustrations of him doing cool stuff in
like what?
Reading Luann on the toilet.
He reads Luann on the toilet. I had him. The first one, he just got a gun. The other ones, I had him like, you know, in a tree fort house thing, like overlooking the trees. You know, something's going on. Then I had him sort of underwater getting a treasure chest, and he's got like a big severed octopus tentacle around his arm. Like he got attacked, but he's like, this is badass, right? And then I had him once, and I think I might still do it in the book, is he was standing, like riding on a shark. So like he's got like a shark, kind of like Aquaman, you know, but like it stays up at the surface and just kind of escorts him around when he needs it.
Yeah.
I thought that would be kind of cool. I just also wanted to draw a big shark. So then I just decided at some point that my next book should be Morris because people respond really well to the look of the character.
Let me ask you this. Where did the name Morris come from?
It's an interesting story, actually. I forgot about it. Entirely. Where I grew up in Scarborough, Ontario, is a really, really ghetto building, very run down, really poor people. And it was this big apartment building. And everyone was like, people were terrible in this building. They were just like, I remember like, I always think back now, me and my cousin would run through like the stairwell playing tag and stuff. And we'd run by guys like shooting up heroin.
Wow.
But like as a kid, you don't think about that.
Sure,
and then when you, as you get older, you go back and you're like, yeah, those guys were just shooting heroin while we were, but like we were just playing tag, right? And in this building, there was one guy who was really nice. He was the superintendent. His name was Morris, and he was not as old as the character Morris, but he had like a big, he had like brown hair, brown mustache, and he was just like a lovely, nice man that everyone loved. And then I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's true, but there was a rumor that he won the lottery and moved away. And I mean, I don't know if it's, we were a little kids, so maybe someone just made that up, but I would like to think it's true.
Yeah, what a great story, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I hope it's true.
I was thinking that you were going to say the name of the building was Morris, but
no.
Your story is much better than what I.
No, the guy's name is Morris. The building was
and
the worst.
What a great homage to this person from your childhood memory.
Yeah, I didn't do it like as a conscious thing. I just remember, I think, I saw the big mustached guy I drew, and I was like, his name's gonna be Morris. You know, just kind of, I mean, as a kid, you always associate, you know, the guy had a mustache. So I think a guy's with mustaches, like a Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, thanks.
That's awesome.
I think it's pretty good. I kind of forgot about that story.
And the more you talk, I remember seeing your pictures of Morris on Facebook.
Yeah. I hope so. I've been posting a million.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them. Yeah, yeah.
I've been sharing them like crazy,
I'm looking
baby.
Forward to my next paycheck so I can give you money for your Kickstarter.
I'm looking forward to that, too. I don't know. If people don't mind, even if they can't afford or they're not into the book itself to back it, if you can't, just share the link online. Like, check it out, Morris. I think it'll be pretty cool. I think we're going to hit our goal. It seems like we're doing pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know.
Great.
I'm feeling good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Fantastic. I love it.
So how did you and Ricky like get together to become a team?
We got together in around 2012, 2013. Ricky was working at Stadium Comics in Brampton, which he still works at. And I remember seeing they have a YouTube channel where they do a thing called Unboxing Wednesdays, and they people have probably seen it. Yeah, they just every Wednesday they've been doing it for years now. They show all the new comic books, and they had a anniversary show. It was I think their 100th episode or something like that. And I remember watching it, and there was other artists I know were at this big event they had. And I was like, well, how come I wasn't invited to that? And then I realized that I didn't know any of those guys, so obviously they wouldn't invite me. Mm. So I reached out to Kevin, the owner of Stadium Comics, and was just like, hey, next event, do you mind, like, can I come out and be an artist at your show? And he did. And then I met Ricky there, and he was doing a book called Deep Sea with David Bishop.
Okay.
And we just kind of got to know each other, got to talking. I run into Ricky every once in a while, and I liked what he was doing. He did a comic jam, and he's an artist, so he was doing a collage comic, like just cutting out of magazines.
Oh.
And I remember thinking, like, I really like what this guy's doing. I'm impressed by his drive. He wants to tell stories. So we just decided we were going to work on something, and then we did at the Comic Book Lounge, there was a 12-hour comic book jam. So we decided to work on a story, and we came up with the Black Hole Hunters Club, which was the first issue is 12 pages, and that was done at that show, basically, yeah.
Did it take 12 hours?
Kind of. No, it took longer than that. But I drew out most of the pages and at least penciled most of them in the 12 hours. But then I ended up having to, like, the inking and stuff took longer. So, but I did kind of develop a new style where I instead of doing full pencil and then just essentially tracing your stuff with ink, I would do this, like, loose style where I kind of block in the characters and then really draw it with the ink brush. And it kind of gave it, like, it kind of became my new style where it's, I feel like there's more energy to it because the brush is so alive and it's not, like, stiff, you know, just kind of tracing your pencils.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of that.
I like Black Hole Hunters Club and stuff. Like, I love your art because it is very, I like the inking. I like
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
That's what, like, really, like, stood out when I was flipping through.
Thanks. Well, I think Morris will be along the same lines too.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll be even
And it's
better.
Got cowboys, right?
It's got cowboys, it's got lizards that wear pants.
Wow.
And you got a lot of people have done prints for it too, right?
Yeah. We have, I think, 37 different pieces by different artists of
Name
Morris.
Them so we can tag them when we post the show.
Oh, my phone's really charged. I can't name all of them, and then I'm gonna forget someone, someone's gonna be mad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll say my variant covers. Okay, I got a variant cover by Robert Freeman, Casey Parsons, and A. Shea Hahn did a variant cover. Yeah.
Cool. Let me ask you this. So we didn't do any comic reviews this week, but there was one book that you're reading right now that you would tell a comic book fan to read, what is that one book that you're enjoying the most that you want us to pick up?
Oh, what did I just buy? Oh, I just bought this week, I bought The Tick, the new Tick series.
Oh.
And it has the, I think Cullen Bunn's writing it, and the art is by the guy who did Arsenic Lullaby. I think his name is Douglas Paskowitz or something like that, but it's so good. It's so good.
What company's putting that out?
I think it's their own Ben Edlund's brand, New England Comics or something like that.
Cool,
yeah,
great.
It's like his own stuff.
I'll call the comics there tomorrow and get it away from
it's me. It's so good. He fights a bunch of ninjas and clowns.
Ninjas and clowns. Yeah, any ghost nuns?
Not in this issue,
right,
but maybe
but
next
it's coming
week.
Soon.
It probably, I don't know.
All right.
I'll put some ghost nuns in Morris.
Yeah?
Yeah,
Morris,
maybe, actually.
Make it a thing. All right.
Actually, that might actually work. I've been talking to Fred about different ideas we're going to do for new story arcs.
Ghost nuns is the scariest thing in the world.
I like it.
It is.
I like it. Ghost nuns.
Ghost nuns.
Yeah.
All right.
Are we done?
Not quite.
Really.
Oh, okay.
So that was talk about Luann for a few more minutes.
No, I think we reached our Luann quota.
Okay, well, like, what's one book that you did recently?
Anytime I'm talking to someone new about comics, the book I always put out there, and I know it's such a cliche now, it's always Black Hammer.
Black Hammer? Black Hammer?
Black Hammer is a Dark Horse book. It won Best New Series this year, the Eisner for Best
Series. I feel
like
I've heard of it, yeah.
And it's Jeff Lemire.
Oh, okay,
and,
yeah,
it's the book I always tell people. That
Jeff Lemire's the best.
Yeah,
I love Jeff Lemire. Does he draw it, too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, then, yeah. All right, I'll get that.
How about you, Dan?
I would say the comic book, I don't know, Captain Canuck. But the comic book that I'm enjoying the most reading right now is Baby Teeth.
Oh, I know,
from,
right?
From Danny Cates.
Was I not
Donny
right?
Cates.
Donny
Cates. Yes.
Is it really that good? I just know, isn't Mike Ruth doing
the
covers?
It's the one I'm enjoying the most.
I've seen some Mike Ruth, like, covers.
He's done some variants and stuff,
yeah.
But yeah, that's the one that I'm enjoying the most.
Aftershock
right
comics, right?
Yeah, I read a lot of Aftershock.
And I talked
stuff
about it
right
on last show, but I'm really the one book I'm loving that no one else is reading. That when it comes out on trade, everybody needs to go buy is Gail Simone's Crosswinds at Image Comics.
Okay. Who does the art?
I can't remember.
Okay. It's cool though. Crosswinds?
Oh, damn good. It's like Freaky Friday, but with housewives and gangsters.
Okay. All
right. Yeah, yeah.
That sounds wild.
It is.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Has there ever been a printed version of Luann?
Yes.
Do you own it?
I have a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't make them anymore, but I do have a few. And if you go on Amazon and you try to buy them, yeah. Like they want to sell them like for like $71.
It's probably just you selling them. It's just, like, yeah, it's, all the links to Luann books just leads to you selling them for gouging prices.
So I have a couple.
That's enough Luann for 1 week or one
month.
Season.
Yeah.
And that's all the time we got. Thanks for joining us today, Shane. Man, you're welcome back anytime.
We had such
thanks,
a great
guys.
Time. Next time you stay longer, though.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks
tune in.
Can't wait to see you again.
Tune in next week for another episode.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?